Two Peas in a Pod. We're currently living in a time where there's seemingly lots of negativity on the news and social media, so we're here to show you that that's not the case. We'll find great things happening around the world and to celebrate positive news rather than making it a token piece at the end of a news bulletin. We'll be talking to each other as well as guests and see how they're celebrating positivity. It won't be preachy and it won't be political. Our plan is to be positive and hopefully have a good laugh along the way. His name is Kez.
And his name is Ben.
And welcome to episode 30 of Two Peas in a Pod.
Happy 30th birthday.
Happy 30th. Yeah. Episode 30. How are you feeling, mate? You good?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, very good.
Nice,
very
nice.
We are currently, I was going to do it in French then, but I realised I don't know the words in French. But
okay.
Kitchen sessions.
Kitchen sessions. Yeah. We are in your kitchen.
Yeah, so.
Mixing up a bit.
I actually quite like this.
Yeah, it's nice.
Because one, it is roughly 10 metres from my bed.
Yeah, that's a good start.
And, maybe 20 metres.
Sure.
And then also, it's nice sunny day outside and we get to just look at the outside.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, let us know if it, what it sounds like to you guys, if it's that much of a massive change.
Yeah, does it sound different?
If it sounds like it's actually in the kitchen. I'll obviously be doing the audio editing side of things.
Audio editing.
To make sure that, it's sort of nice and clean.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be quite interesting. But, it's a bit more, not in a warehousey vibe.
Yeah. It's very obviously not in a warehouse.
Which is what we were doing it in, but that's cool. How's your week been, mate? What's been new?
It's been good. Not a lot. Work, pretty standard, generic week.
Nice.
Just avoid it. I got really wet the other day on the way to work. It was one of those, cycling to work and I was soggy.
Sure, rain wet rather than...
Yeah, rain wet.
Had a personal accident.
It's
a very polite way of putting it.
Let's get to work. God, did you get soaked by rain? No, I had a personal accident.
Yes.
it was
very good.
A result of the rain.
Very good. Yeah. Now,
what have you been up to?
Oh, mate, it's all sorts. Yeah, I've been, obviously just cracking on with the delivery job and stuff. That's been cool.
Nice.
Realising that finding house numbers in the dark is really difficult.
Yes.
When you're sort of trying to find people, especially as loaded of people just don't have their outside lights on.
Oh, really?
It's weird. You think I've got delivery. Yeah, that'll help.
Yeah.
But I suppose people don't think about it, because they're inside. They're not going, would I? It's just something so simple. But so that's been fun. Especially if you're trying to find a flat, for example.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like on flat 52. I was like, where's the numbers for that? but also trying to drive and not get in people's way. And, all of that. But that's been fun. I've got a teaching thing this week.
Oh, nice.
Be cool. So that's been good.
Yeah.
We've got doing a bit of a teaching thing for teenagers, basically. Teaching people the means of... technical audio, I suppose.
Oh.
Best way to describe it.
Sounds very technical.
It's very technical.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's a little 2-day thing. We're going to do the first day is all about building a PA and talking about microphones and the benefits of using one over the other and all that sort of thing. And building a hypothetical band, which would be cool.
Yeah.
And then using said hypothetical band, I've got some multi-tracks of art, some artists.
Yeah.
And then day two is all going to be about actually mixing it, being cool, here's EQ, here's reverb, here's how to build a mix and, how you can sort of make that a thing. So it's going to be good fun.
Nice, giving something back.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I've been dabbling with the idea of teaching this anyway. So to actually kind of make a lesson plan.
Oh.
So I'm very professional.
But this might be the making of you, Ben.
Yeah. I've been toying with the idea of a sort of sound course anyway.
Yeah.
So this would be quite a good little, if sort of kids, I think they're ranging from 12, 13 to about 18. So if they're kind of sweet, I'll get some of that. And they walk away after two. I'd be really impressed if they got all of it and gone cool, I can mix a band now.
Yeah.
2 days. It takes years of figuring this all out.
Yeah, that's no Wim Hof.
No.
2 days and you will be a genius.
Yeah.
I don't know why he was Italian.
I was going to say, Italian or I don't know. Yeah.
Just stupid.
Wasn't Dutch.
He suggested me.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a Wim Hof, the famous Italian guy.
Also Cockney Italian guy.
Yeah. Well, he's lived in the East End for ages.
Love it. I even go back to when I first learned all about that stuff. I remember being in the pub, The Fountain, I believe.
Yes.
And, we'd have a few bits of drink and for some reason compression. A few bits of drink. I just remember just everything about compression, which is a way of affecting the audio dynamics.
Yeah.
I just remember it clicking, being oh my God, I get it.
Yeah.
But because I was pissed and you kind of forget what you said.
Yeah.
And then you just say it again for four hours.
Oh my God.
Guys, I got compression. You're we get it, Ben.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. It was cool 2 hours ago.
Yeah. Get the drinks in.
Go home. Yeah. Celebrate on your own.
Go drunk him, Ben. Go home.
But yeah, so no, it should be good fun. Really looking forward to it.
Nice.
And we'll report back next week. So that should be good fun.
Yeah.
Nice. So I think, yeah, with the kitchen sessions in flow,
yeah.
Let's have a chat about what we're up to this week.
Yes. So this week, basically, because this is early morning kitchen sessions with Ben and Kez.
Yeah.
No jazz.
Early AM.
No jazz this week. So what we're going to talk about is just the benefits of, or the potential benefits of rising early, because we understand it's not for everyone, but some possible benefits of getting up in the early in the morning and rising early and seeing out the sunset, sunrise. I didn't do my geography at school.
I'm going to leave that in. That's great.
Yeah. And then...
seeing the sunset at 7 a.m.
But also, you know, the opposite side of that. So, you know, some people aren't early risers. So,
yeah.
Like, why it might not be good to change your habits and stuff like that. So
cool.
Yeah. So and then also, I'm going to make you breakfast.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Kitchen sessions. It feels like Saturday morning kitchen. Today I'm going to be building blah, blah, blah. All right, cool. And I just sit here quietly and be like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. Talk about your new album, Ben.
Yeah. Out soon. Nice. Cool. Yeah. Well, let's get straight into
it. Let's do it.
So, we're going to talk about the benefits of getting up early.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't I normally get up at 7 for work and now I'm going to get up at 6:55. We're talking about because I'm getting up like before dawn, I suppose.
Yeah. Who's dawn?
Well, it's a very, very good question. Life's deep questions.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, so, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, Kez, have you had much experience with this yourself?
Plenty.
Yeah?
Yeah. And move on.
And that's our second.
So I sort of wavered a little bit now. I went through a period of time when, before I moved back to Whitstable, I lived further away and was still working here. So I had to wake up earlier to commute. And I was probably having to get up about 5:30.
Right, okay.
Walk to a train station, commute, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that was rubbish. Like commuting and early morning, whatever. It's completely rubbish.
Right, yeah.
But what it did do is just my habits changed for even if I had a day off.
Mm.
And even now, if I have a day off, I'm always up by 7, but usually probably 6, something like that. And it's always pre-sunrise.
Yeah.
In the summer, it's earlier.
Yeah.
And I think I have that thing in my brain that says, get out of bed now.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Wake up, get up.
Yeah, yeah.
But... yeah.
Grab a brush and put a little makeup. No.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I always have that sort of thing. And I don't know that I do it for any sort of productivity reasons, which is something we'll get into in a minute. Mm. But I enjoy that kind of the amount of time you get in the morning when nothing is happening.
Yeah. Like,
especially if it's a day off. Even if I go to work, I'm probably out of bed by 6:30.
Yeah.
I don't have to leave the house till 8:30.
Yeah.
So I've got like an hour and a half.
Just of chill time.
It takes me like 10 minutes to get ready. I'm a boy. I'm a smelly boy. You know, it takes me 10 minutes to get ready.
Yeah.
But I love that sort of hour and a half where you're just like chilling, stick telly on.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Tea or coffee or something. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, probably 2 coffees.
Yeah.
I get to work and I was like, hi guys, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to work. It's like chewing my face off. Yeah, I just enjoy that time of relaxing. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting up and... Yeah, okay, so we should obviously, you know, advocate the positives of not necessarily using screens, but I don't think there's anything wrong with waking up, opening the curtains, and then putting the telly on and enjoying that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's because there's a certain quietness to the morning.
Yeah, that's, totally. We'll that's definitely get into that for sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I enjoy about it. And
nice.
But also there is positives of just getting up and sitting in the garden.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I mean, in the summer...
I was going to say weather depending, torrential rain.
Oh, it looks quite nice today, I think.
Yeah, it's all right.
Today would have been one of those mornings I would have entertained that.
But
what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be horrendous for waking up. Like, for school, especially, like, Dad used to sort of go like, Ben, come on time. So I was like, I'm having a nice dream. Was always my thing. It's like, which I was. I'm a lucid dreamer. But I'd be like, I just want to finish the story. Like, you know, or something's happened. I'd be like, I need to rectify the situation.
I'm in act 3 and I need to...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, I'm waiting for the big reveal. Who did it? I don't know. Like, whatever it may be. But so I would literally have to leave the house to get the bus at like whatever time it was, like 7:45 or something, to make sure I got the bus at 7:50, whatever the time
was. I can't remember the time of the school bus.
Yeah. It's been so long, obviously. And I have to leave at 7:45. I get up at 7:43, put my clothes on and just dump everything in the bag and go within 2 minutes. I have that nailed. But now there's definitely the benefit of just like getting up slowly.
Didn't your dad bet you that you couldn't cycle to school every day for a week?
Yeah, he did.
Or
yeah.
a term or something.
Yeah, for a week. Yeah.
And you did it.
And I did it, yeah. I forgot about that, actually.
Maybe that was a turning point. Yeah, that was locked away there somewhere.
Yeah. I think, what was it? I think he said like, oh, if you could do it for a... What was it he said? I think it was like 100 quid or something.
I thought it was, he would pay for your bus fare.
Oh, that was something like that, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he'd pay for your bus fare for the rest
totally
of the year.
I totally forgot about that. I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, there was basically, for a bit of context, there's, you know, the cycle to Canterbury is about, you know, it's quite hilly through the woods. It was a good time of year to do it and stuff, so that's great. Obviously, with a heavy school bag, it felt like, you know, an army person with a big weight. But
yeah.
then it's just the really long, straight road from the Canterbury town up to our school. It's a bit like, oh, it's just so much longer than I realised. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
there you go. Fun memory that I didn't remember.
Fun memory.
There we go.
Yeah.
So I think let's get straight into it, mate.
Let's do it. Why don't you pick a person? Because essentially, I think there are a number of people.
Yeah.
Or a certain type of person, should I say.
Yeah.
Who are quite adept to waking up early. From what I've noticed, the articles we've read, it's generally people in high-pressured jobs.
Yes, yeah.
Sort of movie stars as well.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of articles, and I think the one that was bandied around a lot recently in the last year was the whole Mark Wahlberg thing.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bit of an extreme dude. And, I mean, he gets up at 2:30 in the morning.
So that's, for me...
He goes to bed at 7:30.
Half seven.
Yeah. Had a look at that.
Yeah, so for me, that's just insane.
Yeah, so he gets up to exercise, play golf, pray, and recover in a minus 100 degrees Celsius cryo chamber.
It's mental. But like from
every day.
I watched a YouTube video about it, and essentially what they would do is... like, this seemed to me to be something that only he did on his like workout days.
Sure, okay.
So days where he had to work out... And I understand that it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, so I need that time. You know, the time later in the day just isn't there. Family commitments, work commitments,
of course,
whatnot.
Yeah.
So you need to make time for that somewhere else.
Making
time for that in the morning makes sense. But like, I don't know, for me, that just doesn't seem sustainable. Going to bed at 7:30 and waking up at 2:30.
I think that's just his extreme, like, otherworldly lifestyle. He's not like, I'm now going to do my job at Tesco's.
There would be people who did that.
People
definitely get up at 2:30 to go to work for 4 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But I'd imagine he's sort of, you know, he's using all that time to sort of, you know, recreationally, well, I said recreationally, like exercise, play golf, pray, sort of doing his own things.
Yeah.
Apple CEO Tim Cook said he rises at 3:45 to start checking emails. I mean, I bet that guy's a loads of emails to check anyway. So,
When you're that, not important, but when you're that sort of high profile, you're in charge of such a high profile company. Like, I don't know, I'd be paying someone to make sure my emails are like...
Yeah, right.
Like really...
Whittled down.
Filtered.
Like, yeah. Oh, I signed up for that. Delete. You know, whatever it may be.
Janice, my Spotify... The Spotify's going to run out tomorrow. Make sure there's money in my bank.
Or Apple Music. And it's, you know, he'd definitely be part of that.
No, but that's the twist, isn't it? That's the twist.
Oh, yeah, he's a Spotify user.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey gets up at 6:02 specifically.
I mean,
every day for reflection, meditation, exercise before she starts work at 9 o'clock.
6:02, there is some theory in that, though, isn't there?
Oh, is there?
Well, yeah, not precisely 6:02, but like setting your alarm for a bit after the hour. Because, like, if you're going to wake up at 6,
yeah,
or whatever, often, if you're me, right. This is a really personal thing, but I will always wake up, regardless of what time the alarm is, I will always wake up about 5 minutes before that alarm.
Right, okay, interesting.
And so then if you set your alarm for 6:02, then you give yourself, like, you wake up like that at 6:02.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, okay, cool, 3 minutes, 6:05, bam, let's get out of bed.
Yeah. And I also find it's like it's a rounding up thing as well that I've had.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, definitely. I'll get up and say, I'll snooze for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you kind of
sneeze for 5 minutes.
Snooze.
See a doctor.
But then, it's very much a case of like, if you go like 6:05, 6:10, and you kind of go, I'll round up to the nearest 5. But if it's like 6 or 7, you're like, oh, all right, I'll get up because it's not as wholesome.
Yeah.
Was the other thing I was reading. But then, here we go. So let's kind of rattle through the 10 potential benefits for getting up for an early rise.
Go on then.
So let's start with number one. You're greeting the day.
Hello day.
It's something about And I've definitely been guilty of this before, where you kind of go, I don't know, sleep in and be like, oh, yeah, this is really nice. And then you get up at like midday and be like, oh, where's the day gone? Almost, you know what I mean? You're sort of...
I don't think I've done that since I was a teenager.
I did that recently. No, I didn't.
Midday?
Yeah, yeah. But there's definitely been moments of like of people just do that sort of thing to be like, oh, I'm just going to stay in bed for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, greeting the day, you're sort of like, you're there with the sunrise and stuff. You're, you know, it does make you feel really positive.
It does, yeah.
You know, so it's definitely a good thing. And yeah, number two, it's an amazing start to the day.
Yeah.
You know, you used to start at the bed, we've been there. We've all been there, I'm sure. We start the day by jumping out of bed, late as usual, rushing to get yourself ready and kids ready if you've, you know, got kids in your life.
Yeah.
Rushing to drop them off at school and coming to work late and blah, 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 blah. But actually, it's more relaxed. It's more chilled. Do you know what I mean? If you're up, like, in that situation where you've got kids before them and just have a little bit, like you said, a bit quiet time.
Yeah. And yeah, that's something I've actually noticed. Some people I work with who have kids and they will often say that they will get up before the kids just to have that.
Yeah.
Even if it's 10 minutes just before the kids get up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that does lead into the next point, which is just that quiet time you get, you know, before your partner gets up or before your kids get up.
Yeah.
You know, just, and that's something I don't have kids, but, you know, like, it's just that quietness in the morning. It's something I just really kind of, I just love it. And it just gives me that, it eases me into the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can sort of make yourself ready.
Yeah, totally.
There will be days where waking up is rubbish and getting out of bed is rubbish and stuff. But generally, that's something that I really sort of quite like about the day.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when I go for and have been for the sunrise swims, and then walking to the beach, I walk sort of 2 minutes, not even, to get there. But it's basically one of those situations where you're walking through, like, no one's really up.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels like you just got the whole world to yourself. It's not just like...
It's like a life hack.
Yeah, it really
you're sort of hacking the day.
Yeah, you really are. Yeah. And like, you know, you're walking through, like, there's no cars driving around really.
Yeah.
There might be the occasional jogger or a dog walker or someone cycling. And everyone's just sort of really friendly. You know, and that sort of, morning, you're in the morning club, hello. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's something I've always noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember once when I...
People are nicer in the morning.
I used to work at Sainsbury's and I would leave my... I was living at my mum's at the time.
Yeah.
Leave my mum's and walk... across a bit of Whitstable known as the Duncan Downs, which is very famous dog walking, popular dog walking.
World leading.
It's one of the world leading dog walking locations in the Whitstable. And something that would always make my day was when you just walk past, it's just you and another person, one other person is walking the other way and they go, morning.
Yeah.
It's just something so nice about it. And I just used to...
Which really doesn't happen like at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. Or
it doesn't, does it? No.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something about that kind of quietness and stillness and, you know, just...
Yeah.
Even before the birds have woken up, if you're that early.
But. Yeah, not these birds because they are everywhere.
which leads into number four, talking about sunrise swim.
Sunrise.
It's sunrise, yeah. There's something so incredibly... We've all seen sunsets before, but like they're obviously a bit more like likely to be seen by people than sunrises. But there's something about, like, especially if you're doing a sunrise swim as well, there's something about being in nature, being in the water, and it happening.
Yeah.
We've obviously done it where, you know, it was on our socials when we did our swim, and it just popped up over the ocean. Like, we didn't expect that to be there. Hello?
Yeah, it's just, that was the best thing about that.
Yeah, that's the thing I take away from that morning. It was not like the exercise thing, and, you know.
We should link it up with a winter sunrise swim.
Mate, I'm all about that. I went for a swim yesterday. It was great.
Whenever sunrise coincides with high tide, we should do that again.
Amazing.
In the cold, cold, bitter winter sea.
Sorry,
I went audiobook voice there.
It's like full on Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
It's number five, talking about, like, you know, something we're going to get onto later.
Yeah.
Breakfast.
Breakfast. Best meal of the day.
Yeah.
So basically, you get up early. One thing we all know about, you know, if you're waking up and, you know, having to just get ready and leave the house, is you don't get enough time to have breakfast. And so, just getting up that little bit earlier, you can just have a bit of breakfast.
Totally that. I mean, how many times have we gone like, oh, I haven't got time to eat, I'll just have like a nutritional bar, or, do you know what I mean, like a breakfast bar, whatever, on the go. Or actually, like, spend the time, make a bit of porridge, do whatever, you know, and then read a book or just have there with your coffee and your breakfast, look out the window, like, something really definitely, there's so many positives about having that moment, that time.
I agree,
Nice. One thing that you've been sort of a big thing of at the moment, where you've got this new exercise blog.
Oh, yeah, started writing a blog just because. Matt, our mutual friend, messaged me And I sent it to him before I published it.
Yeah.
I sent it to him and I said, read this.
Yeah.
I've written a blog. It's about exercise.
Yeah.
And he just asked me, like, what do you want out of it? Well, yeah. What's the goal? And I was like, because if I publicly document something, I sort of just have to follow it through.
Yeah, nice.
But early morning time is the time I use for exercise a lot of the time, especially nice. At the weekend.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, obviously, we're a lot busier at the weekends than we are in the week.
Yeah.
I mean, relatively speaking, you know, you're more sociable at the weekends.
Yeah.
So you're less likely to go to the gym in the afternoon or whatever. Mm. But yeah, exercise, something you can do first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
In a funny way, it sort of almost sounds counterintuitive because the time you're least likely to want to exercise is just after you've got out of bed.
Yeah, yeah.
But if, you know,
it sets you up for the day, doesn't it?
Yeah, even if you do 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
It always feels more amazing.
Just sets you up in a big way, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Once yeah, once you've done your workout before you go to work or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of leads into our next point, which is productivity.
I think this one, yeah, productivity is good. I think this one is definitely, what's the word? It depends on who you are. Because I think we can be funny about productivity, but...
Yeah. It's basically, you know, whether it's you're exercising, whether it's you're doing, I don't know, like blog writing, for example, whatever it may be. If you're doing just a load of stuff, it could even be just like doing stuff around the house, like pottering, like doing some, the washing up of the, you know, whatever it may be, and just doing bits and bobs like that. You're doing almost like, you know, your bits, whether it's exercise or meditation or doing whatever.
Yeah.
And you're doing all of that. Then you do work in the day. And then by the evening time, everything's sort of done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've done loads before you've even started your normal job or something in the morning, or if it's on the weekend, you've just done loads and you've got that time in the morning.
Yeah.
The feeling of that productivity, that feeling of like, oh, I've done loads already. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Feels great. Something I've been a massive fan of, being like, oh, it's now 7 in the morning, I've been up for 2 hours and I've done loads.
Yeah.
So that's great, you know.
Yeah.
And I've still got the rest of the day.
Yeah, again, it's like a little hack, isn't it? Like, yeah, I've just done all of that when I would normally have done that at lunchtime.
Yeah.
It's now all done. My lunchtime is free to have lunch.
Yeah, nice.
The next one is, if you've got, if there's something you kind of have just been aiming to do or something, you know, you want to do but you've just never found the time, you can make that time in the morning. If you're getting up early, why not just do that thing? And I always find sometimes the mornings when, like I said, I watch television, I do think, oh, I could just be doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you've got something you want to aim towards, then do that at 7.
Yeah, yeah. It's tiny little sort of like mini goals and stuff throughout the morning. That's, you know, you're making that time. You're making the effort.
Yeah.
You know, that's really good.
Yeah.
Something that I suppose is more your sort of area, I suppose, more than mine, is the commute.
The commute. Yeah, my commute is pretty limited at the moment. But yeah, the later you leave, essentially before you have to get to work, the busier it is. There's something I noticed the other day. I cycle to work now.
Sure.
And so normally I leave at about 20 past 8 to cycle.
Mm.
I left at 25 past 8.
Yeah.
The traffic was about 3 times as busy as it normally was.
Yeah.
It's like just that 5 minutes made that difference. So,
totally that.
You know, to, you know, when you get up, get ready, get, you know, you can get to work a bit earlier and make a bit more time for yourself at work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, it can be a really positive start. You know, positive sort of way of starting your work
day. Especially if you're getting like the train into London, for example, obviously, you know, not so much of a thing these days with COVID and things, but you know, if the rush hour train is the absolute pain in the, you know,
it's the pits.
It's so cramped, it's, you know, but if you just left a little bit earlier, you're not on that train,
you're not,
but you're like, oh, now I'm in big town, you know, in London.
I'll be, big town
you know, I can go, oh, just leisurely go to work, grab myself a coffee and everything's, you know, it's a bit more chilled rather than like, oh my god, I'm late, I haven't sat down for 2.5 hours, whatever it may be. So that's really cool. And that leads in lastly with our final point, appointments, getting there a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
there's nothing worse than, you know, whether it's a meeting at work or whether it's, you know, hanging out with a friend or something, whatever it may be, being like, oh my god, I'm rushing, or trying to catch the school bus, so just to be a little bit more early, and it's just removing that stress of your day.
Yeah,
and be like, I've got all the time in the world, I'm literally not stressed. It's so beneficial, but also like it's so like rewarding, I suppose.
Yeah,
that you're not having that kind of little kind of like tick 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 in the back of your mind, worrying that you're going to be late for a thing.
I think as well, one thing going through this list is there is one clear positive about all of this, which is just you'll have more time.
Yeah,
and it's about limiting stress
and
frustration, I think. So, you know, rather than like it being for 10 different things. Essentially, by getting up earlier, you're just giving yourself that bit more time in the morning to do the things that you don't normally have time to do, or, you know, just, yeah, you know, whatever, in whichever way it fits into your day, you just have that little bit of extra time.
Yeah, totally.
Why don't you just run through about how people can make those changes and just start, you know, maybe getting up a little earlier.
Yeah, sounds good. So how to become an early riser. It's obviously, it's not for all of us necessarily, but it's something definitely you can try for sure. Yeah. So the first thing is, like, don't take any like drastic starts. Don't be like, right, I'm going to get up at four.
Yeah.
You know, ease into it.
No, like, yeah, you'll hate
start
life.
Slowly. Yeah, yeah. This isn't great. God, the guys in the 2P podcast lied.
I was eating coffee straight from the jar.
But yeah, so start slowly by waking up just like 15, 30 minutes earlier than usual, and then over a period of days or something, like, increase that a little bit more, to a point where you've, you know, this is going like, oh, this is a good time for me to wake up. This is, you know, this is works for me.
Yeah.
And obviously allowing yourself to, in that same regard, allowing yourself to get to sleep a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So to ensure that, more importantly, this is probably the more important point, we look at Mark Wahlberg when he's going to, getting up at 2:30.
Mac,
he's not going
Wahlberg,
to bed.
Mac.
He's not going to bed at like midnight or like 10 o'clock at night. He's making sure that he's getting a good night's sleep.
Yeah, you could get the hours in.
So yeah, ensuring that, like, the benefits of a good night's sleep is just, you know, it's so important anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're getting up like 15, 30 minutes sort of normal, earlier than you would do, then, you know, make your bedtime 15, 30 minutes earlier as well.
Yeah.
To ensure that you're getting a good night's sleep.
And also, I think it's about making, and we probably have mentioned this before, maybe even last week, about... Or not last week, week before, when I was here.
Yeah, yeah.
Limiting the amount of screen time before bed. Because I think we all know now that, you know, screen time stimulates your brain, takes longer for your brain to relax. And
then
also, even if you do get to sleep, it inhibits or it prevents you from sleeping well, and you know, it can promote broken sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, like, rather than, you know, looking at your phone or watching television in bed, it'd be better to maybe read a book or just listen to an audio book or something, just to relax,
wind down. Yeah, yeah. I suppose, yeah, the final points there, you've got like, talking about your alarm clock. Firstly, take it away from your bed. So rather than kind of just like hitting it with your hand, you know, like, shut up.
Classic 80s movie style.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Go away. But actually sort of put it away from your bed. So you have to actively get up and to turn it off.
Absolutely.
There's such a beneficial, I've been doing this sort of a little bit recently as well, which is quite good. And ultimately, once you get out of the bedroom, you're out of bed. Make sure you just leave the bedroom straight away.
Yeah. Just literally, when your alarm gets up, well, it goes off, just get up and get out of bed.
Yeah, yeah. Don't rationalize that sort of means of going, oh, maybe 5 more minutes. You know, just crack on. And once you're up, you're like, oh, okay. You know, I'm moving. I'm in a good place.
Yeah. No, I think they're the most important ones, I think. You know, just making that sort of, and those little changes. I think the most important one is just, you know, if you want to make the change, just do it by like 15 minutes every day and just get used to, well, not every day, but 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Do that for a few days.
Yeah.
Do another 15 minutes for a few days.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
see how you feel.
Yeah,
you
see how you feel. I think
the words of Wim Hof, never force, you know.
Never force.
that was Dutch, Italian, right? Now Italian, not Dutch Wim Hof.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, and finally, you know, have a good reason to wake up, you know. Use that time effectively and make waking up a reward, you know, whether it's like, you know what, I'm going to make myself a really nice smoothie this morning.
Yeah.
And go like, oh, that felt really great. So you're promoting the positive actions within getting up early, you're rewarding yourself.
Yeah.
And take advantage of that extra time. Don't just sort of just sit there on your phone all morning.
Yeah.
Use that time to be like, oh, I'm going to just look outside and just view the world, even if it's something as simple as that,
rather than
Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really, really beneficial.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, to prove that you're doing this, maybe message us.
Yeah, send us a message.
Send us a message at like 6:30. You know, our phones will be up.
We'll definitely be up.
Yeah. Our phones will like just light up being like, I'm up, oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, this will be...
It'd be a good little, sort of barometer of how people... Just maybe send us a message and let us know how you feel when you're up that early.
Yeah, yeah.
There are mornings where you wake up and you're like, oh, I feel rubbish.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
I'm sure the first one will be like, this is really hard. But, you know, try that over the course of maybe this week, even if it's just once or twice.
Yep.
You know, obviously make it work with your schedule. But then, let us know how you feel. Go like, oh, actually, I was really productive. Or, oh my God, I'm totally doing this more.
Yeah.
Whatever.
How can they get in touch with us?
They can get in touch with us on Instagram at 2P Podcast, Twitter at 2P Podcast, and Facebook at facebook.com/2Ppod.
You can also email us at hello@2Ppodcast.com, or you can visit the website, which is www.2Ppodcast.com. 2ppodcast.com.
I love that also the www has got slower and slower. So yeah. It's got none.
I'm basically next week do it backwards.
Challenge accepted. There we go. Nice. Yeah. So yeah, let us know and see how that productivity gets on.
Productivity Let's in the it. Morning.
It's time for good news. So consistent.
I think I was a bit down
there. No, mate, that's good. That's good.
A bit out.
Nice. I think I'll kick things off this week.
Yeah, go on, you kick off.
So in Ireland, there's a Dublin boys club that encourages men to share their real feelings and to explore healthy masculinity and offers a safe place to be vulnerable.
Oh, nice.
The Dublin boys club is a place where something very radical happens. Men, strangers initially, come together with one purpose, to practice real talk and grow the most authentic versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. Real talk means dropping our masks. It means answering the questions, how's it going? Not with grand, nothing, or sure, you know. Whatever.
Yeah.
But with a genuine heartfelt analysis of our feelings.
Wow.
Young and even not so young men in Ireland are incredibly vulnerable in isolation. And then, there's things with like addiction and obviously which leading to suicide as well.
Yeah.
But by practicing vulnerability together, the club creates a community of brothers who act as a safety net for any other member who might be stumbling along the way.
Yeah.
The average meeting lasts a couple of hours and the key ingredient is vulnerability. It's the difference between this club and every other football, darts, walking club. They start off a meeting with a group meditation and then they talk in a circle. Sometimes it's about the relationships with dads or friendships or what it means to be a bloke.
Yeah.
They take a hammer and a saw to everything we've been taught as men. We can't show weakness. We can't open up to your mates. Can't be indecisive. Mm-hmm. Can't show you when you're feeling low because you'll be a buzzkill. From the salvage, they're constructing a more authentic, sustainable masculinity picture. Yeah. The Dublin Boys Club is free of charge and now new members are welcome at the dublinboysclub.com. So wow. I think that's just a really brilliant place to kind of bring around some positive sort of positivity.
It's positive discussions
safe
as well.
Circle and of discussion.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's really nice.
So that's a really nice bit of good news in Dublin.
In Dublin.
So yeah, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got the story of a 10-year-old who walked 1,700 miles with his dad from Italy to England just for a hug with his grandma.
Amazing.
Yeah, so visiting loved ones during the pandemic has become obviously a daunting task. Even so, when 10-year-old Romeo Cox decided what he wanted more than anything else was a hug from his 77-year-old grandmother, he didn't let a few little bumps in the road, like quarantine, or the fact that she was 1,700 miles away.
Yeah.
There were no flights from his new home in Sicily to his native UK stop him making the journey. So he hadn't seen his granny for a year and a half. So during lockdown, he planned in secret to go and see her. His parents took some convincing, apparently, but he finally talked them into letting him make the trip.
Wow.
So basically they walked. I'm just reading through here now. Yeah, his dad is a veteran journalist and filmmaker who has first-hand experience of covering war zones, so he was definitely...
The
man for the job. But yeah, they walked from Sicily to... from the UK.
That's amazing.
From Sicily to
the UK. Yeah. And how long did it take, did it say?
That's a good question. Let me have a look.
All of lockdown.
Yeah, he's still going. So they set off on their journey on June the 20th. They trekked across Italy, Switzerland and France on September the 21st.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a chunk. I suppose it's really far, isn't it?
Yeah, 1,700 miles.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I mean, I wonder if they camped it because it's summer, I suppose. You know what I mean? Like what the situation was there. That's really cool.
Camp, wouldn't you? Yeah.
That's really wicked. And what an adventure to sort of say like, oh yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
With Dad.
What did you do in lockdown?
Yeah.
I just walked to the UK.
Walked to the UK?
Yeah.
And swam the channel.
Yeah.
And Sicily's an island, no? This is my awful geography.
Also my geography. I don't know. I feel like it probably is.
Yeah. Lots of swimming. Good work.
Good.
Leading into that water-based comment leads to some water-based...
Nice segue there.
Nice segue. Some news. We've got some... you know what to do?
It's time for good news.
We've done that bit.
No. Other one.
Conservation conversation.
Thank you. So, a company has built a hyper-real and cruelty-free robotic dolphin that could replace and save thousands of show dolphins held in captivity in marine parks.
No way.
The robot dolphin is more than 20 years in the making, says Roger Holzberg. Its earliest inception debuted in 1999 at the Living Seas exhibit at Disney World's Epcot. This wasn't a widespread use for it then. But as robotic technology has evolved, so has public opinion about the morals of keeping marine mammals in captivity.
Sure.
Edge Innovations is a company that truly lives up to its name. As such, it's made an animatronic dolphin so real. The company already has high hopes for replacing actual marine life held in captivity and performing at theme parks. Yes, we're talking about dolphin robots taking over the sea world.
See what they did there.
Yeah. We believe that this is a possible win-win for both the industry and for the educational initiatives to be able to create, really, to imagine the kind of entertainment we do with those animals.
Yeah.
I've always thought, this is Holzberg, the creator of said dolphin, I've always thought that the way we preserve our oceans to get people to fall in love with them, and with my hope and dream is that children who interact with these dolphins will fall in love with the ocean and the creatures that live within them, and will grow up to preserve them.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
That's amazing.
It's so good, isn't it? And to you see it in circuses as well, like the they're doing holograms of like elephants and lions and stuff. You know, which is a spectacle in and of itself. This technological marvel.
Yeah.
So to be able to sort of see this hyper real, you know, robotic dolphin, and eventually, I'm sure if they get that success from that, going like, right, here's some whales, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, I have always been aware of the mistreatment of animals in places like that.
Mm.
And we watched a documentary on Netflix called Blackfish. Really good documentary. It makes you feel instantly sympathetic. And
yeah.
Oh, it's awful the way you
treat those stunning animals. Film.
It is absolutely stunning. But yeah, you know, it's just animals shouldn't be kept like that.
Yeah. And especially ones that are used to, like, that are that massive, that are used to being so large spaces.
Exactly. And and so to then obviously come up with, I mean, they shouldn't have to come up with an alternative.
Sure.
But people pay to watch these animals. And, you know, I think that's great. You know, I'd pay to see a robotic dolphin do a dance.
Yeah. And to promote an educational sort of thing, being like, cool, why don't you go see the real thing now in the wild?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really brilliant.
Amazing.
So that's our good news for the week.
Good news.
Good news.
Good one.
So that's been our first little kitchen session.
Kitchen sessions. I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it a lot because I didn't have to go very far.
It's very true.
But yeah, I think we could make this a good thing.
Yeah.
And in the summer, we could do it from the garden.
That's very true. Yeah. Just hear, people mowing the lawn and be like, kids, what do you think?
Stop making weird noises, kids.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. and obviously, you know, get in touch with us.
Yep.
As we said, talk about the early rises that you've been doing, even if it's just once this week.
Yeah.
Or if you can commit to a whole week, good for you.
Or if you've walked from Sicily to the UK.
Then do let us know.
Give us a shout.
On Instagram at 2P Podcast, Twitter at 2P Podcast, and Facebook at facebook.com/2Ppod.
And also on the website at www.2ppodcast.com or via email. I've realised I've done this the wrong way around.
Doesn't matter.
hello@2ppodcast.com.
Cool. Wicked. At trouble. Anyway.
www.
Anyway.
Back in the room.
So we've been 2Ps in the pod. Peace and love. Thanks so much for joining us this week. We will see you very soon.
See you soon.
Lots of love.
Bye.
He's been Kez.
And he's been Ben P with a big old P.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.